Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you here this morning. Just have a single announcement that I'd like to highlight for you. I'm trying to help you get into the routine of looking in the bulletin. There are many, many, many wonderful, great things that are going on here at the church in this Christmas season. It's jam-packed with things to do. So you're going to want to look in there, and you're going to want to see what is upcoming and what you might want to be a part of. One of the things that we haven't talked about much, and I just want to hit it off real quick, at the Welcome Center, there is a poinsettia order. If you have a desire again this year to purchase a poinsettia that will help grace the sanctuary, we have about 50 of them or so that we're going to order, and it's beautiful. It looks beautiful in there, in here. If you don't remember from last year, it just is gorgeous. So you can attach a name to that. We'll have a flyer that we're going to put out on that on the last Sunday before, or the Sunday before Christmas. And also then you're welcome to take one of those home at the end of that time period. So if you would like to help with one of those poinsettias and then take it home, or even if you don't want to take it home, if you want to fill out one of these forms and give it to Tracy in the Welcome Center, or Gail or me or whoever, that would be great. We would appreciate that. So that's all the announcements that I have for you. I just want to remind you that on the back of your bulletin, there are three ways to give. So there's a QR code. You can give in person. There are some wood boxes and the Welcome Center where you can deposit what you're giving. And now you also have availability to give through Church Center app. So if you are a person who hasn't been giving in the past and you're going to start giving, I really want to encourage you to use the Church Center app. Bottom line is, all of these things, other than just the physical check, all of them have a little bit of a fee associated with them for the church that we have to pay. So if you use the Giving Center app, it's a little bit less. So if you're just now starting to get, into the routine of that, try to use the Church Center app. It will save the church a little bit of money. So that's all the announcements that I have. You're up, Gail.
Good morning. I don't know which Sunday this is that I've been up here talking about Operation Christmas Child, but I did want to kind of wrap things up for the week. We still have two more days. Today we'll be open from 12 to 2 for drop-offs, and then tomorrow, Monday tomorrow is from 11 to 4. I thought I'd give you some statistics. We've collected 540 boxes this week. We don't know what to anticipate for tomorrow, but if you would like to come up and volunteer, we'll take you. Sometimes we've been busy. Other times we have had good conversations. So the Lord doesn't waste a minute. He uses all of it. So you're welcome to come and join us. If you'd like to see what this is all about, I think we have some pictures here. So here's us sitting outside, and this is when we got some boxes, and all hands were on deck to wrap them up. And that's Buddy at Oats Drive Baptist, where we're taking the cartons for shipment. So they'll be on the road. All the boxes that we collected will be on the road and on their way Tuesday morning. So I just thought I'd just give you kind of a wrap-up, and I'll have the final count probably in next week's bulletin.
All right, thanks, Gail. Well, that is awesome. What was that total at this point, Gail? 540, you said? That's awesome, 540. Yeah, they've been bringing them in all week. Everybody volunteering. As you guys know, I teach math up here at the school, and I've been walking through the 4 years seeing it, and it's just been really cool to see how many people have been bringing boxes and all the activity, and people coming here just giving their time, not just to Operation Christmas Child, but to the Lord and to His kingdom. And I think it's been really cool and encouraging to see. Well, good morning. Let's all stand and worship together.
Who breaks the power of sin? risen in darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all. Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Our chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter. The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of his brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings.
Sing it out.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Turn to your neighbor and say, it's really good to see you this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Let's find our way back to our seats, please, everybody. We're going to focus on the scriptures for a moment here, and then we're going to dive back into worship.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good morning. Let us begin. Sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. They have no fear of God at all. In their blind conceit, they cannot see how wicked they really are. Everything they say is crooked and deceitful. They refuse to act wisely or to do good. They lie awake at night, hatching sinful plots. Their actions are never good. They make no attempt to turn from evil. O Lord, your unfaithful love is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the ocean depths. You care for people and animals alike. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. All humanity finds shelter. In the shadow of your wings, you feed them from the abundance of your open house, letting them drink from every river of delight. For you are the fountain of life, the light by which we see. Amen.
Thank you, Mike. All right, let's continue worship together.
Stop the Lord Almighty. Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God comes to save, is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
Who can stop the Lord?
Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty God? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty God? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty God? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain. For the sin of the world, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Oh, before the Lion.
splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, we'll see how great is our God. H2A, H2A, he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, God, that you have paid it all. Lord, even though we're undeserving, you've done that for us. And Lord, we love you. And Lord, sometimes we don't show it, but I pray this morning that we would show it. I pray this morning our hearts would be touched, not only by what you've done for us, but what you've done for this world, what you've done for any who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, we are unworthy of it, but Lord, we love you and we are thankful for it. I pray that this morning we would open our hearts, we would lay down any burdens or any blockades or things that we've been carrying on our shoulders, and we would just put them right here at your feet. We would let you take that burden. Lord, I pray also that we would receive anything that you have for us this morning. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
I don't know if that's the right way to say her last name, is a fairly famous soccer player. You may have heard that name before. You may not have heard her name mentioned, but she's a fairly famous soccer player, current or recently current soccer player, and she just retired. So in the last game of her season, 3 minutes into the game, she tore her Achilles tendon. And after the game, she was visiting with the media, and she has a pretty interesting quote, and it's, I'm not trying to disparage her. A lot of people have disparaged her for what she said, and that's not what I'm doing. So if you read some of those news articles and you heard some of the things that were said, that's not what I'm saying. But what she said was, can you pull that up on the screen there? There you go. These are her exact words, not when she was on the field, but when she was talking to the to the media. She said, "I'm not a religious person. That's the understatement of the world. But I'm not a religious person or anything. And if there was a God, this is proof that there isn't, referring to her injury. So I'm not a religious person or anything. And if there was a God, this is proof that there isn't. Now, from a logical standpoint, it doesn't make any sense what she said. I'm kind of scratching my head afterwards, and I thought, okay. And I think what happened is she was a lot frustrated, because at the end of her career and the last game of her career, she gets injured and she's out for the rest of the season, for the rest of her time. So she was just frustrated and kind of mumbling and all. And a lot of people jumped on it and said, oh, you know, why would she say something like this, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people jumped on it. But her statement actually reveals something about people. And that is the perception that whatever God is doing, it should be beneficial to me. Megan, if you don't know the story, is a very decorated soccer player. She's helped the women's team win 2 World Cup championships. She also played professionally in the States, and she did a lot of good things, the Golden Boot or whatever. She won a lot of awards. She's also been very vocal about getting equal pay for the female athletes that the men athletes get. So she's an advocate in that respect. And so I think in a lot of respects, she feels like she's doing a lot of good for a lot of people. And she has been a spokesperson for the LGBTQ movement. And so she's tried to promote what they're doing and that lifestyle and say, hey, this is okay, it's not sinful or whatever. So she feels, from her perspective, that she has done a lot of good. And so when she gets injured in the last game of her career, she looks up and if there was a God, which by the way, I know there isn't from her perspective, he wouldn't have let this happen to me. Because why? Because I'm such a good person. Now, it's easy to look at a person like that and say, well, you're not really that great. But the reality is that's the perception that many, many, many people have. I'm a good person, and because I've done some good things, God owes me. And the reality is that a lot of people feel that way. Because as humans, we're selfish. We have this perception in our head. We're very selfish people by nature. And one of the things that selfishness, or one of the ways in which that selfishness plays itself out, is we look at things and we say, this is good based upon my perception of what's going on. Good is dictated not by some exterior thing standard, it's by what's good in my eyes. So as people, as we look around, we see, well, that's good and that's bad. But what's the basis for that? The basis for that is us. As people, we just naturally have this bent where we look at things and we think about things and we say, okay, what's best for me? What's good for me? We're inherently selfish. Humans are inherently selfish. Good is dictated by what they think. What you want to see happen is what would happen good for us. And so you look at that situation and you see this dynamic at play and you wonder, how could a selfish human ever find favor with God? How could a person who is constantly looking for what's good for them or evaluating what's good or bad based upon their perspective, how could that person ever find favor with a God who is truly good and is realistically about his interests more than ours? How could the two of those ever work together? How could a human find favor? And maybe in a way to make it a little more personal, how do you and I find favor with God when the reality is most of what we do and think each day is about us? How do we find favor with God? This morning we are concluding our series in the book of Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. And what we're doing is we're reading through the stories that occur after the fall. The fall is where Adam and Eve took the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They weren't supposed to do, and they introduced sin into the human experience. And then these stories that happen after that kind of lay out what the result of that was, what the result of that decision was for humanity. And what we see today is that what we're seeing today in Genesis chapter 6, we're reading a story about people, and the people have gone doing their own thing. And we're going to see some of the results of that. This morning we're going to be looking at Genesis chapter 6, verses 4 to 8. And we're going to see that the Lord's favor is found not in living for ourselves, but in living for His joy and His hope. The Lord's favor is found in doing for Him, not in doing for us. The first thing that we see is that the Lord's favor is found in living for His joy. See, what we have a natural tendency to do is to live for our joy. But in order to earn the Lord's favor, in order to be in a position where we're seeking the Lord's favor, we have to be about looking for the Lord's joy. And in this situation, you're going to see that we meet some humans here who are doing the exact opposite of that. In verse 4, we read, in those days, and for some time after, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children who became the heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. Verse 5, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. And verse 6, so the Lord was sorry that He ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke His heart. This is a fun passage to preach about, because the Nephilim is something that a lot of people wonder, well, who are they? Well, I'm going to get to that. Don't worry. I'll answer all of your pressing questions here shortly. First, verse 4 starts off, in those days and for some time after. So talking about the time after the fall, and for some time after that, giant Nephilites lived on the earth. Most likely who these people are is they're just giant humans. They're humans that are either abnormally big or abnormally strong or abnormally tall. That's very much likely who these people are, and we read about them later in the Bible, and it talks about how people were afraid of them. And very likely it's because of their enormous size. But they're humans. The most likely these guys are humans. Giant Nephilites lived on the earth. For whenever the sons of God, here likely a reference back to the genealogy in Genesis 5, talking about men. For whenever men had intercourse with women, they gave birth to children. Now, not all of those children were these Nephilites, but some of them were. This is kind of just talking about the time period when men and women were having children. And these children who became heroes and famous warriors of ancient times. So these children who were Nephilites, they became heroes. Now in my translation it says heroes. In your translation it may say something different. Realistically, literally what it means is they were mighty men. See, when we hear heroes, we think of a positive thing. The hero of the story is the good guy. It isn't necessarily saying that. It's saying these guys were strong and they were big. And they were famous warriors. They were men of the name, which is often translated, they were famous men or infamous men. Most likely in the context here, especially the next verse, these guys were taking advantage of their size and their strength in a society that was lawless. See, there are beginning to be cities here, but there's very little way of government. There's no armies. There's no police. So the reality is it's a lawless situation. So the biggest and the strongest get whatever they want. If you're the small guy who's gone out in the field and you've harvested grain for weeks and weeks and you put it in a big pile and a bigger and stronger guy comes and he wants to take your grain, what are you going to do? Can't call 911. He can just take it from you. And likely that's what's going on. These guys were doing whatever they wanted. They were the biggest and the strongest, and nobody could stop them. If you look at the next verse, then the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, not just the Nephilites, but also humans in general. Remember a section we were talking about a couple of weeks ago. Men and women are just having babies with whoever. Nobody's sitting down. Nobody's getting married. Nobody's having a family, raising a family. They're not doing that. They're just running around and having sex with whoever they want to have sex with. Everybody's doing their own thing. And it says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Here you might want to put in place of the word evil, selfish. They were doing whatever they wanted to do. If they were big and strong enough, they just do whatever they want to do. Nobody could stop them. Men and women were just indiscriminately having babies all over the world. The people were just doing whatever they wanted to do. And the verse goes on to say, so the Lord, verse 6 says, so the Lord was sorry he had ever made them, and he had put them on the earth. The Lord experienced sorrow. He felt an emotion because of this situation, because they were doing whatever they wanted to do. The Lord was sorry he ever made them and put them on the earth, and it broke his heart. And the thing, the picture that's being painted here is you have these humans, many, many of them we'll find except for Noah. All of them except for Noah were doing whatever they wanted to do. And the Lord looked at the situation and he said, this is breaking my heart. And what is a challenge for us sometimes to understand is that what we do and what we decide to do affects the Lord's perspective on things. It does matter to him. He does care about what's going on. And these people were all making decisions constantly, and those decisions were causing him to not have joy. He didn't have joy. The Lord was not having joy because he looked at humanity and they were doing whatever they wanted to do. The flip side of that, the example for us, is we can learn from that is that his favor is found by living for his joy. When we make the decisions he wants us to make and we do the things that he wants us to do, we can live for his joy and we can bring about that joy. But we can also bring about the opposite of that by our decisions. Living according to what is good in our own eyes often leads to disappointment. Recently, Kat Von D released a video of herself being baptized. Now, Kat Von D is a tattoo artist and a television personality from the show LA Inc. So she has was heavily involved in witchcraft and so a lot of things. She kind of broke away from that and she became a believer and she kind of turned her life around. She got baptized. And this is what she said. She says, I just want Jesus. And it's a very, very narrow road. I feel like all these breathing techniques or spell work or nature worship, all these things, they're just crutches. They're not really my answer. Now, I bring up the story about, and it's always weird, it's always difficult when you bring up the name of someone who's famous and you put them up on the screen like that because you don't know what she's, I don't know what she's going to do tomorrow. I'm not trying to put Kat Von D up as a person for you to follow. But here's what's interesting. She is a person who for most of her life was pursuing witchcraft and trying to explore all of those things to make life make sense. And she got to the place and she realized it didn't work. And so for various reasons in her life, she became a believer. She committed herself. She got baptized. And she says, it's working. And so I'm not saying that Kat Von D is a person you should follow, but I just want you to see that there are people in this time period, even in this year, who are going through life and they've been doing a lot of things and they're like, it's not working. Pursuing what I think is right in my own eyes, it isn't working. And in her case, she found something that works. And this morning, what I want to challenge us to begin to do is I want to challenge us to begin to think that pursuing the Lord's favor is a meaningful endeavor. It's not something that just sounds good in church. It works. It's something that works. The Lord has is a person and he reacts to the decisions of people. It matters to him. Take for an, I just give you this illustration. I want you to imagine that there's a joy meter on the Lord's chest. Imagine that he has a little gauge on his chest and it's a joy meter. And I want you to begin to imagine at this point that when you and I are making decisions that are right, that are in line with what he wants, it's something that gives him joy. When you and I make decisions that we know are wrong, it's something that takes his joy from us and his perspective on us. What we do matters to him. When you and I are doing things and we're being selfish, that is something that affects him. So the question is how do we find favor with the Lord? Favor is found in living for his joy. And then the next part of this verse we're going to see is favor is found living for his hope. Let's revisit these selfish people again, starting at verse 7. And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing. All the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Verse 7, And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth. It is a difficult thing to hear, and in our mind, in our perspective, that's kind of drastic. But let's remember here what's going on as this group of people is procreating, and there's more and more people. All of these group of people, not a single one except for Noah, is pursuing the Lord's favor. We don't know for sure how many people were alive at this point. But of this whole group, there is one person who is pursuing the Lord's favor, Noah. And the rest of them are doing their own thing. And though it sounds kind of harsh to hear the Lord say, I'm going to wipe the people from the face of the planet, the reality is the Lord understood that this situation is hopeless. These guys are not going to figure this out. They're not going to figure out how to do things differently. They're just going to keep going in the way that they're going. And the Lord says, the solution that I'm coming up with is that I need to start all over. We need a redo. And he says, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth, and I will destroy every living thing. When he talks there about his creation, it's hearkening back to the moment when God created humans. He created them to be in an intimate relationship with him, to walk in the cool of the garden with him, to have an intimate relationship with him. And as he would go down each morning to try to interact with humans, they're all running around doing their own thing. And the Lord said, we need a redo. And he said, I will wipe this human race that I've created from the face of the earth. And yes, I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry that I ever made them. Again, expressing his emotion in the midst of their selfishness. And then in verse 8, we see the opposite. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Noah was a man who found favor with the Lord. Now, found favor with the Lord doesn't mean that God gives him things. It means that Noah was a person who the Lord enjoyed his presence. The Lord enjoyed his worship. The Lord enjoyed his relationship with him. And Noah found favor with the Lord. And what these verses are laying out here is that favor is found by living for his hope. Living for his hope. These people had put a situation together where there was no hope. There was no turnaround. The Lord had to restart. But Noah brought hope into the Lord's perspective, and then we'll see in the future when we come back to the story of Noah's Ark, we'll see what the Lord does with Noah. But at this point, humanity is giving God no hope. And so the perspective of what is going on with humanity is that it's hopeless. Living according to what's right in our eyes often leads to disappointment. When we live for what we think is right, when we do what's right for us, when we're selfish, it leads to disappointment. And we live in a culture surrounded by people who are doing that on a pretty regular basis. Alexa Penn-Vega was a child actor from the Spy Kids franchise. We may have her picture up here in just a minute, but she was a child actor from the Spy Kids franchise, and she and her husband were both in the entertainment industry. And as they started to have kids, they began to come to the conclusion that they would say, I say Los Angeles is a place that offers you a lot of opportunities, but it doesn't necessarily have a family culture. You move here to work and make it. For us, speaking of her and her husband, we wanted to get out of that because we were ready to be part of a community that shared our faith. Three kids in the picture there, they've got one more on the way now. And they understood that if they stayed in the culture in LA, it wasn't going to work for their family because the culture was doing what's right in their own eyes. And they wanted to raise their kids in a culture that was pursuing what was right, good and right in the Lord's eyes. And this pursuit is a meaningful endeavor. It's meaningful endeavor to pursue the Lord's favor, even now. One of the things that's interesting to think about is that at the time period in Noah, when right before the flood, people were giving God no hope that things were going to change. And so the Lord restarted with Noah. And in a very similar way, at some point in the future, we don't know how soon in the future, the Lord will destroy the current heavens and the current earth. He will. He's going to destroy all of what we see now. It will be destroyed. Until that time, there's still hope. There's hope for me. There's hope for you. There's hope for our neighbors. There's hope for the people around us. The Lord will bring an end to this present heavens and earth. And until then, there is hope. And if we understand that difference and we understand the depth of that, we'll begin to see how beneficial it is for us to live in a way where we can obtain the Lord's hope. So how do we find favor with the Lord? Favor is found living for His joy and for His hope. If we live for our own selfishness, our own perspective about what is right, it will lead to disappointment and disconnect. If we live for the Lord's favor, His joy, and His hope, it will lead to satisfaction. Ayan Hirsi Ali has been a critic of Islam for many years. And until recently, she was a vocal atheist. She was brought up in Islam and had some very terrible things happen to her within that context. And so when she was old enough to break away, she did, and she went into an atheist perspective. Visited and talked with many, many popular and very influential atheists and was herself an atheist and very vocal about it, wrote and told people about there's no God, and she kept going on and on. At some point, very recently, she became a believer because she began to look at the claims of Christianity and she found out it actually works. She had seen what Islam had done to her and the people in her village. She had seen what Islam had done in areas all around the world. And she knew that didn't work. And so for a time, she pursued atheism and was a strong proponent of it. But then in time, realized that didn't work either. And so through various circumstances in her life, she became a believer. And she said, fortunately, there's no need to look for some New Age concoction of medication and mindfulness. Christianity has it all. And I don't say her name or bring up any of these women and their stories to say these are people you should follow. I'm bringing up their examples because I want to point out to you that there is a growing number of people in our culture right now who have tried all of these different things and they've come to the conclusion it doesn't work. And many of them are turning to a belief in Christ and are turning to a relationship with God through Christ, and they're saying all of a sudden things are starting to make sense. And this morning, what I want to challenge you with, I want to encourage you, is not only to be aware of some of the dynamics of what's going on around you, but to also realize that in your own life, even though you may not necessarily have said when you walk through these doors that I'm selfish, the reality is we live in a culture that's very selfish. We were selfish from the day we were born. And if we don't get over that, if we don't make amends with that, if we don't do something, we'll continue to be selfish for the rest of our lives. What Kat Van D has found is that, in her case, witchcraft was a crutch and didn't work anymore. And maybe you've not been involved with witchcraft, but maybe you can identify with some of the things that you're doing, some of the perspectives that you have in your life right now, it's not working. What you're leaning on, be it alcohol, be it drugs, many different things that it could be, those are crutches, and you're just realizing it's not working anymore. Maybe you can identify with Alexa and her family, that you're living in a culture that just isn't working, and realizing that the people around you are embracing an attitude of selfishness that just doesn't work. Or maybe you can identify with Ian, that the medication and mindfulness that you've been working on so far just isn't working. Maybe the things that you're doing up to this point just aren't working anymore. And if that's your situation this morning, if you are in that spot this morning, then I want to challenge you. There is a God who loves you more than you can possibly know right now. He has not only provided a way that you can have all of the things that you've ever done moved out of the way so you can have an intimate relationship with Him. He's provided that through. Not only has He done that, but He's also given you a way so that you can be in a relationship with Him. He's given you a step-by-step process of how to be in and stay in an intimate relationship with Him, because He, more than anything, wants to walk in the cool of the garden with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? If you are here this morning and you're realizing that the things that you've been doing, the things that you've been relying upon, the things that you've been hoping, the things that you've been trying to make fit in the puzzle pieces of your life just aren't working, I want to encourage you, take a few minutes now and pray to the Lord and to talk to Him about how you've been relying on some of those things. If you have never entered into a personal relationship with God through Christ, in the quietness of this time, you could pray right now, the sinner's prayer, just asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins, that you believe that Christ paid the penalty for your sins, coming into an intimate relationship with Him right now. If you've already made that profession of faith, I want to challenge you even now just to think through your own life and look at the ways where you are depending upon things. You've been depending upon things that just aren't working anymore. And take a few minutes now to ask the Lord to take those out of your life. Dear Heavenly Father, I do just pray that you would hear the earnest pleas of the people in this room this morning. those who have lived their life far from you for various reasons, chasing other crutches, chasing other things that just don't work anymore. And I pray that you would guide them steadily and strongly back into a relationship with you. Lord, for those of us who have allowed some of those things to creep back in, I pray that you would hear our prayer. Help us to remove those things that are slowing us down, those things that are getting in the way of our relationship with you. And help us to leave this sanctuary this morning clean, clear, and looking forward to a week of spending time with you. God, who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.